Life Audio.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Got him. Episode 60.
We have done this show
60 times. Man, we hope that you are enjoying this, and it is an encouragement and hope-filled and maybe educational. And yeah, welcome back. We're back, baby. Nice and toasty in the studio. It's cold outside, so
Thanksgiving week.
Well, it's Thanksgiving Day when you're watching this, hopefully. This comes out Thursday.
Oh, okay.
No, it doesn't. It comes out Friday.
Yeah, so
yesterday, you ate a lot of turkey. You ate a lot of cookies and cakes and pies, and you rode roller coaster rides, and you saw giraffes and monkeys. You know, you did kids' Thanksgiving stuff. So, no, that was an excerpt from an old Dave Chappelle stand-up thing.
Okay.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about holidays today. We're going to talk about, many of you maybe felt this way this week, and then maybe still feeling this way if you're back home hanging out with family. And then we're going to go into the Christmas season as well. And so we just want to address some stuff, man. We want to talk about if you're someone who has walked in freedom, you've struggled with addiction in your past, or you're currently struggling with addiction, we want to address you, but we also want to address the ones around you and what they can expect, what they could look at, and things like that. And so, so that's the episode. We're going to talk about holiday seasons, things to look out for, things to avoid, things to dive into.
Yeah.
So why don't you kick us off, get us going.
Yeah, holidays used to be some of my least favorite times in the midst of addiction. Now, obviously, there's two sides of that coin. I love family. I love being around family. I love spending time and catching up with my loved ones. But on the other side of that coin was addiction.
Mm.
And in my addiction, I hated every bit of going to family functions.
Yeah.
And when I would go, I desired to stay as short as possible,
you know?
And part of that is because a lot of times whenever you go around family and you're catching up, well, when I'm living a life of debauchery and don't have much to talk about what I'm doing in life and how I'm growing and what's going on, and it's kind of like the elephant in the room that everyone knows what's going on, you know, so it's like trying to teeter around those conversations. It's just difficult. For me, it was always tough to when the holidays came around, such as Thanksgiving or Christmas, and I knew the family was getting together at my grandmother's.
Yeah.
Or I knew the family was getting together at my house. There was always just this uneasiness inside of me that just wanted to run, that wanted no part in it. And throughout the years, I don't know how many I missed, but I'm sure there was some that I wasn't present at. And even the ones I was present, I wasn't present, if that makes sense. I think something to look out for, something to be mindful of for families is just that. Like, you know your son, you know your husband, you know your nephew, you know these men, and I'm speaking to men just because we're in an all-male facility, better than anyone. So if you feel like something's off, and like I was explaining earlier, I'm a family man. I love spending time with my family. I love being around family. I love fellowshipping and just conversating and all these things, but they're hesitant to do these things and be in these predicaments or situations and spend time with their loved ones without it feeling like a hurry. Yeah, your inkling is probably right that something is off, especially if you are already thinking that, man, he may be, you know, drinking too much. He may be smoking. He may be getting high. He may be needing some help. We just don't know how to approach it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sign to be aware of. Him avoiding family functions, him avoiding conversations, him avoiding those relationships that were once dear to him, that's probably a red flag number one.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, I think families, so we'll address you. I think use discernment. You know, like you said, you know them best. And so if there's excuses that are said, like, I've got to work tonight, or, you know, and they're just, it seems like from the moment they got there or even beforehand, it's set up to where they're only there a short amount of time.
Yep.
You know, if that makes you feel a certain way, you know, check that feeling out. It doesn't necessarily mean you're right, but I would definitely say that feeling's there for a reason. It's probably a red flag. other things would be like nodding out, you know, nodding out on the couch. And again, it's hard to discern because there could be a turkey coma happening. You know, it could be I ate too much or I didn't sleep enough. But eyes, your pupils being pinpoint, just setting up things to leave early, or if they've gone to the bathroom a long time for often, you know, those kind of things. And so I think what we've said before and we'll say again is you just make it as easy as possible for someone to walk into a life of recovery and as hard as possible for them to stay in a life of addiction.
Amen.
And I guess the question would be is, hey, this your son, your dad, your brother, your sister, mom, aunt, uncle, whoever it may be, your loved one, haven't seen them in a while. Now all of a sudden it's holidays. You just saw them at Thanksgiving and something seemed off. What do I do next? Well, I think next, and this will lead me to my first scripture. I think this is in Matthew chapter 18. This is verse 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, this is, and it says, if he refuses, you go to the church, you bring it before the whole church, that kind of thing. Obviously, this is church discipline if someone sins against you, but I think the principle still plays in the aspect of if you feel something's wrong, address it. Be assertive. Not accusational, but assertive. Like, hey, man, I noticed you're nodding out. Oh, yeah, I was just tired, didn't sleep the night before, you know, ate too much. There's going to be an excuse. There's going to be a defense to keep what's in the dark to stay in the dark. But the reason that he didn't like staying long, the reason I didn't like staying long, the reason your family member maybe doesn't like staying long is because we don't like, when you're in the darkness, you don't like the light. And so if you're exposed and there's a lot of people around, you're probably going to try to get in and get out as quick as possible so that light doesn't expose your darkness. And so engage and judge the response, right? Here's what, man, I'm a little worried about you. I know that maybe you had some struggle in the past and you just looked off. Privately do that with them. Sit them down, you know, take them to lunch, call them, and then weigh the response. It's not going to be a good response. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Spoiler, it's not going to be, thank you, you noticed me, I'm on drugs. It won't be that, right? Yeah. It's going to be an attempt to deflect. But if you just discern, you know, and maybe you're off, maybe you could be off, but just discern. If it's like, if it's admit nothing, deny everything, and they start making immediate counter accusations, well, that's normally a red flag too, right? If I'm starting to blame others, or did you not see someone else? They try to change the subject. That's a red flag. And then, you know, and just discern what that is. And if you still feel like that wasn't honest, then take someone else with you. Sit them down again. Call on a two-way call. Hey, I've got Ryan here with me. And brother, man, we just love you. And we're just concerned. You know, we literally love you. And we want to address this again. And I know you told me this. I just, something didn't feel right about it. And so step one is be assertive. And if you've seen The Forgotten Pandemic, you know one of the things that we say is silence is deadly, right? If you're afraid to say something because it might be the wrong thing or whatever and someone can go and die, well, they are dying by the groves. You know, I feel like we talk about this all the time. They are dying.
Yeah.
Silence is deadly. Speak up. Be vocal. Have resources in mind. If you have any kind of relationship with a faith-based recovery place or some kind of interventionist or something like that, maybe do your homework beforehand. Call them and get some personal. Tell them what's going on. Have a little bit of strategy going into it, because on the off chance that God just breaks them in that moment and they repent and confess and they say, I need help, then be able to know what you're doing, what those next steps are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say this too. There's never a good time to address a loved one about addiction.
It's always a bad time.
There's never a time. So if you're waiting for a time, a moment, a season that's just perfectly and feels right, and this might be the best time to approach it, the time is always now.
Yeah.
And the best way to do it, like you said, is, man, present in love an opportunity to get help.
Yeah.
And exactly like you said, make it as hard as possible for them to continue an addiction and allow them to cause their family members to enable them.
Yeah.
Because what needs to happen, the approach needs to be the family stand on a solidified front.
Yeah.
Of, hey, your dark is being brought to light. We still love you despite we know this is not you, but we will no longer condone nor enable the behavior that is happening. So the second you are ready to get help, because yes, that individual has to answer the call to respond and desire help more than you desire it for them. But what needs to happen is the family stand on a solidified front saying, hey, we will no longer co-sign, endorse, or allow you to become codependent on us just to manipulate and lie and deceive and feed a habit.
Yeah.
And that's something that's extremely hard for families to do. I watched how hard it was for my own family to do, but it's so necessary to just initiate those initial steps to getting help.
Yeah, and I think this is great. I think this is great advice. I think most of the time, families do have some sort of leverage that they can imply, like, hey, I'm not going to do this if you continue doing this, yes, or if you're not honest about this. There are times, though, that, you know, someone's self-sufficient, or they're just like, I don't need you, and they're homeless, or they have a job and they're able to somewhat pay their bills, but their life's falling apart and you see it, and they don't necessarily need you for any kind of sustenance. I think in all moments, especially those, the power of prayer is something that you lean on. You're not afraid of the conversations. You step into them, you engage in them, even though it's going to be hard and they're going to say hurtful things. Mm. They are. I did. And they know exactly where to stab. They know exactly where to twist that's going to get you upset. Because if you get upset, it discredits. If you show an emotion, if you are angry, it discredits your accusation. And it's just a tactic. It's a self-defense mechanism. So knowing all of that, press in and have the conversation anyway. Bring someone else into it. Bring your whole family into it. And if that's not enough, continue to pray that God breaks them, that God breaks their heart, that God draws them to someone that they will listen to, that there is a moment that he just touches them and they repent and they're like, I need help. Pray for those things. Pray for those things. Please pray for those things, because there's power in prayer, like power in prayer.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say do those things. Just do that if nothing else. I mean, there's power in that. You should be doing that the whole way around, praying that God breaks them. And man, a lot of times that breaking doesn't look like what you and I think. I've heard countless stories of jail being God breaking them, or moms praying for a son for protection and just protect him tonight, and he's arrested and she's angry about that and then realize that was actually God protecting her son, right? Getting him off the streets with all this nasty fentanyl and everything. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back and continue on the subject. We really want to talk to you, though, if you're someone struggling, and we know there's all sorts of families that do have alcohol at these events, or maybe that's what you did your whole life, or you haven't been to a holiday in 10 years without some kind of substance happening. We want to talk with you, too. Bear with us. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We're back. We're back. So Ryan, what would you say to, let's say someone's fresh out of rehab, maybe someone's 10 months out of rehab, 12 months out of rehab, but this is the first Thanksgiving, with family. high pressure, not knowing what to expect. Maybe their family does or doesn't drink. What's some good advice that you would give the guy that's gone through an addiction or the gal that's gone through an addiction?
I think identity is super important because I remember those first few holidays after finding Christ and finding freedom. And it's still hard.
Yeah.
Because you're so accustomed to having fear arise, having insecurities arrive, having the feelings that I used to feel prior to finding freedom come up every time I would put myself in these situations. And so your mind immediately goes to, what are they thinking? What is my aunt thinking? What is my uncle thinking? Is my grandparents judging me? Yeah. What does my parents think? Do they think I'm high? Now I feel like, okay, now I can't move this way. I can't do this movement because they may think I'm drinking. I know this may sound crazy, but these are like legitimate things go through your head. So it's remembering who you are in Christ and who he says I am. It's vital to not only continuing in freedom, but just even going back into those places of intimacy and building back those relationships with your family. Because for most of us, those relationships probably weren't the best if this is your first time back at a holiday, back at a Thanksgiving, back at a Christmas. And be understanding of your loved ones who are going to want to have conversations about how you're doing, about how things have been going. A lot of times as men, we don't like being smothered. We don't like being suffocated. And it can feel that way sometimes, like as if almost you're getting babied, like, oh, it's going to be okay. And that kind of causes us to push people away. But just be understanding if your loved ones are wanting to have certain conversations that may get on your nerves, may frustrate you. Something I noticed, and I've said it before, is the more that I walked in righteousness, the more that I walked out my faith in the manner that God had called me to walk, the less I would get offended when someone questioned me, when someone would doubt me, when someone would say something that I didn't like, the less and less it would affect me, because deep down in my spirit, in my soul, I knew how I was living.
Yeah.
The times where I get really frustrated and really angry and I want to lash out and I want to say something combative is because it's true and I'm not living the right way. So that's another thing to be mindful of. Man, I think back to like the conversations I used to have with my mom or my dad or, you know, certain loved ones that I would just make them feel like the bad guy, like so manipulative, just such a condescending liar to try and push everything that I should own up to onto somebody else. And man, it's sickening. So even to families, I know that's got to be hard to deal with. Like, I address certain things, but then he comes back at me with all this banter and all these things that are wrong and all these because and this is why. And I know that's got to be hard, but understand that's not coming from a place where this man even believes it himself.
Yeah.
It's literally just to get you to go down different rabbit trails and to chase something that's irrelevant to the actual situation, which is him addressing these things within himself and having to turn from them.
Yeah, man, that's so good. And I'll just add to that. I mean, the reason, a couple things I want to respond to. One, I mean, legitimately, you might be saying you haven't been around family, the anxiety, the stress of family,
it's tough,
for years without some sort of substance to help numb that or to whatever. And that's why we talked about this recently, but that's why we do the outdoor activities. That's why we do things at S2L during the program. We take men out of the house, out of the comfort zone, and go and do things like paintball, go and do things like swimming or canoeing or to the gym, to all these different events, movies. And we always, you know, is anyone drunk or high? No. Did everyone have fun? Yes. Well, let that be a reminder. You don't have to have you drunk or high, or don't have to have a substance in your body to have fun and laugh. So know that it is possible, whatever part of life, it is possible. If this is your, whether it's a month or if it's 10 months, this is your first Thanksgiving or holiday season without a substance, know that it's possible, number one. Number two, what Ryan said about identity is absolutely true. No one, especially early in the game, and maybe forever, we're not promised anything. And I got to start clicking. I'm sorry. Producer Joanne's like, hey, you know that sound is going to ruin everything. Sorry. You're the only one that needs to know your new creation in your heart. People might not believe it. People might not know. And here's the deal. They probably won't at first. And that can't faze you. That can't bother you. Like, it's kind of insulting, but they weren't with you for the last however long you were there. They haven't seen your walk with Christ. They don't know what's going on in your heart. They don't know that God took a heart of stone and gave you a beating heart of flesh and that he's wooed you. And that's okay. You know why? Because the chaos and the lack of trust we caused.
Yeah.
And so here's what I will promise you. Well, I can't promise you because other families, I don't know. Here's what I'm very confident will happen. The response of people will be bad. But they don't know what to do either. They're probably not wanting to be bad. They're probably not wanting you to think that they're thinking about it. So they don't like know where to put their hands, you know, in the same way that you were saying, the guy that struggles, I don't want to look like this because they're going to think this.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing for family, especially loving families that are fighting for forgiveness. That's a process, by the way, that you got to allow your family to go through. It just like you weren't healed overnight, they're not either. And so they might. It's going to be awkward. And you just remember, as Chitty said, your identity. Remember who you are in Christ, and just be normal. Allow them to be awkward. Allow them to look at you. Allow them to put their purse on the other side of the thing without you being offended. Allow healing to happen in the family, and you just be there. You know, that's more than you could say, as we talked about in the first half of this episode, that you're not trying to jet out of there after 20 minutes. Like, hey, good to see you guys. Love you. Or you're hiding in the bathroom or you're nodding out. Just be there. Be there and show them that you're a part of this family. And it's okay that they don't trust you. It's okay that people might look at you in a certain way because you are in Christ. Is that here? Oh, wow. The police are coming.
Oh, it sounds like it's coming out of my earphones.
Yeah, that's why I was like, is that like, are you telling me it's time to go to a commercial break? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Yeah.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
And we're back, and we're back. So we really did just take a commercial break. That was pretty smooth.
It threw me off completely. Yeah.
And that's like the alarm really, the siren really did just shut off, by the way. So it might be here. This studio is on like a road. It's not a very traveled road. So you hear a siren, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I think allowing them to heal, they can't cause you to feel any way.
Amen.
Don't allow that. I mean, just like, you made me feel bad. No, you chose to feel bad.
Yeah.
Give them grace, man. That's one of the biggest things I learned, you know, early on was, I got to give the people that love me grace. But the only way I was able to do that, Chitty, is I was confident mm-hmm. in who I was.
Yeah.
My identity was secure. Yeah. Now, did I have rocky moments? Yeah. Did I waver in my faith at times and just, I need God's word. I need brothers around me. I need to worship. And yeah, but I was confident in who I was. And because I was confident in who I was in Christ, I could show grace to those, man.
Yeah. And that's what's crazy when I look back, like it used to offend me when someone would have doubt or question what has happened in my life or question if I was ever going to go back to the same lifestyle I lived. And it used to offend me, like highly offend me. And I used to be, how could they ever think that? How could they ever feel that way? Well, fast forward 5 years and it's like, Ryan, like, what do you mean? How could they think that? What do you mean? How could they feel that way? Like, look at how you lived. Look at the pain you caused. Look at the lies you told. Look at the destruction that was upon your life. Look at the darkness that you were dwelling in.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, we don't realize as people who were coming from addiction and had lived that life of the healing that still has to take place in the lives of those around us.
Yeah.
And we have this like expectation in our hearts, I believe, and in our minds that when I'm healed, everybody else should be healed. Now, if I said that thought out loud, it sounds irrational, but the posture of our hearts within that is really how we feel. It's like, once I'm healed, like, come on, stop doubting, stop not trusting in me. I want you to trust me. I want our communication to get back to better or where it was. I want our relationship to heal. And it's like, that's just not the way it is. Our family, they take time to heal. And like I say, whenever you come through S2O, we have an expedited process of healing because we get submerged in Jesus Christ.
And strip everything away.
Submerged in the word. We get submerged in classes, in church. our families a lot of times are still going through their day-to-day lives, still going to work every day, still taking care of the kids.
And dealing with the consequences of chaos.
Dealing with the consequences of everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, your healing may be more expedited than somebody or one of your loved ones who doesn't have the privilege of laying everything aside and going and submerging themselves in Christ and fellowship for an X amount of time, you know? So like you said, giving them grace and knowing that, hey, everybody's healing is going to look different. Everybody's going to be on a different pace when it comes to that. But nonetheless, like, I don't want to say they're justified in how they feel, but there's a reason. If somebody did the things that I did to somebody else, I would feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Jorian, you got anything you want to add? Producer Jorian, you want to add anything just about holidays and identity and things like that?
Yeah, I would say having grace is definitely the best thing you can do. I agree with everything you guys have said. With families, I would say if you have members that are struggling with addiction, show grace to them. They're going through addiction. I would say, of course, don't excuse their behavior, but have grace for them. Make them feel like they're at home, like they are family. And for those who are struggling with addiction, I would say, echoing what they said, be present. Be there. Be with your family. Feel that love. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy this season. It's a blessed season. The reason for the season is grace, the grace of God. Mm-hmm. So just remember that. And just have a blessed time with family. Amen.
Let me read this psalm real quick.
And then I got some things to close us out with I just want to add. But, yeah, let's hit this.
Yeah, I'm going to read this Psalm 100. And this is a call to come before the Lord in worship. Ooh. Because he is good. And this could be to a family member struggling with love, struggling with a loved one who's going through addiction. This could be a guy who's struggling with addiction. This could be a guy who's freshly out of rehab. Whatever the case may be, man, this is a call to come before the Lord in worship. This is Psalm 100, 1 through 5. And it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love
endures forever,
and his faithfulness to all generations. Ooh. And this is regardless of what season you're in. When I read this, I always go back to being in the darkest season of my life.
Yeah.
And what changed was my posture towards the Lord. Instead of complaining, instead of talking about everything that had happened to me, instead of saying I have the worst life, instead of saying I'll never get over this addiction, man, my heart changed and started worshiping and thanking and praising God. And within that, I realized I have everything I've ever needed.
Yeah.
You know, and so it doesn't matter what season you're in. It could be to an unbeliever. It could be to a believer. It could be to an addict. It could be to the loved one of an addict. Man, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into the presence of the Lord with thanks.
Yeah.
And give thanks during the season of all that he's done in your life. It's so easy to get caught up in that negative mindset of this is wrong, that's wrong, life sucks, media sucks, this sucks, and just, you know, it affects how we think, it affects how we act, it affects how we talk, it affects more than just what we think, you know. It affects every aspect of our life. But if you can change that posture to giving thanks and giving praise, I promise, man, there's so much more good that flows from that it'll change everything for you.
Yeah, man, that's so good. Yeah, and I just want to close with this. So we've addressed the families of the loved ones struggling with addiction. We've addressed the people that are in a recovery process and are nervous and wouldn't say that they're recovered. But the reality is because of the popularity of the show, there's probably people watching this that are on one, you know? Mm-hmm. They're on one right now, and it's the day after Thanksgiving, and entering into the Christmas season, man, every Black Friday, the Christmas lights go up, the Santa Claus thing floats, which is none of that is Christmas in the meaning of the season, but that's what triggers these emotions, and it's like, oh man, a big holiday season coming up. I want you to know that there's hope. Yeah, maybe you just spent another Thanksgiving hiring a football bat or buzzed or in and out so you can go get your shot, or in and out so you can go get your snort or smoke or whatever it is, man, you're watching this. That means that there's a reason, right? That if you're watching this, it means that there's something in you that longs for more. If you're watching this, it means that God's sovereign decree, the places and boundaries of time that he ordained, has put this in front of you. And I want you to know from experience, there's hope, man. Mm. But don't wait. Reach out and get help now. No, I'll do it after Christmas. I just want to be there for Christmas. Word. You weren't there for Thanksgiving. And if you were, you weren't. Reach out and get help now. And the reason I say that is because people are dying. They put off, oh, I'm going into rehab tomorrow, and they die and don't make it in. It happens. It happens. I know that it happens. There's hope, though. Let me tell you a story. I personally, let me start with biblically. God tells us that he loves us, and that those who are weary and heavy laden, that if you come to me, all who are heavy laden, weary, and struggling, tired, stressed, tired of living a life of just the rat race of being on one, of family lying to you, you to them, I mean, and web and just this alone place. There's hope. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. It's a promise of God. It's not promised that you haven't screwed everything up, and your family might not ever allow you back to Christmas or Thanksgiving again. And you know what? That's okay too. Because let me tell you something. You could start your own tradition with your own family. Let me tell you a story. There were many years, many years that I was on one at holidays. Just like we talked about, I was either high in the bathroom snorting something, or I was in for just a few minutes and then out. And my mom, it was just like my family was like, extended family's there, and her own son mm-hmm. comes in and dips out.
Yeah,
all these plans and all this effort that goes into these holidays, and I can't wait to leave. Or I just don't show up.
Yeah.
Or I'm high, or I'm whatever, and it's just like, or my mood swing. I mean, you get it. It maybe. Man, it's gone from that to being early on, just like people looking, you know, after rehab, just like the awkward, I don't know what to do, just like we discussed.
Oh, yeah.
There's hope, because now we've started, not because my family wouldn't allow it, but just because of the logistics. Now Thanksgiving's at my house. Now people travel to our house for Thanksgiving. Now when I'm a pastor, right? That might not be your story, but the family's seen the righteousness in me, and now I'm praying before family meals, right? But the whole family gathered. That wasn't the case a short few years ago. And I tell you this not to boost me up. I tell you this because there's hope. I did nothing but be obedient to God and surrender. When I try to do it my way, I went to rehab after rehab after rehab and just wrecked things. So I'm not boasting in Adam. I'm boasting in what God can do to a broke, busted, disgusted addict. Man, he could sanctify you. He could save you. He can be a beacon of hope through you. And it might not be your direct family. I don't want to fly a false flag. There is hope for restoration there, but it might be your own traditions. Man, maybe you're called to this year to have people that don't have family in, and you start your own tradition. But I'm telling you, there's hope after it. There's prayer after it. You could be the one that is the godly person at your Thanksgiving event, to where at one point they're hiding the purse. And here's what that is. That's life after addiction. Mm-hmm. And you better believe it.
Come on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S, the number 2, L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S, the number 2, LRecovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts and their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study, called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.